Chapter 35. Sutterdam. Phelan, his brothers and father lounged in the small and patchy green space behind the house where they had been exiled by Jorinda and Norling. His mother and aunt were toiling over a planting day dinner. When Harthen and Phelan had begun hovering over the preparation, stealing little bites, Mater had smacked their hands with a spoon and shooed all the men out of the cook's way. Pater had fetched his pipe, and Hake had brought out a bench they could sit on in the cool spring sunshine. Harthen used their one scraggly shrub as a target, idly throwing whatever pebbles he could find at its trunk. Phelan stretched out his long legs and relaxed from his trip home. He had fairly faithfully returned to Sutterdam during holidays, partly because the Scholarium refectory cut down to half staff then and the meals suffered. He always looked forward to these homecomings, but they rarely turned out just as he had hoped or imagined. Every moon he lived away at school seemed to distance him from his family.
"Pater," said Hake, "what do you think about the tidings of the Weir Queen's death and the burning of two of her ships?"
"From what I've heard," their father took his pipe out of his mouth, "the Allied fleet had already destroyed the Pellish pirates, so a sad business, but it won't affect our ability to ship goods."
"I'm glad I fight on solid ground," said Harthen. "Sea battles don't allow soldiers much freedom of movement, and there's precious little chance to distinguish yourself."
"Well, none of the Free States supports a navy, so it's not as if you had a choice," Hake pointed out. He turned to Phelan. "What are they saying about these events at that school of yours?"
"Many readers and tutors submerge so deep in their studies they pay no attention to what is happening in the wider world," he replied.
"Cloudheads," Hake snorted with mild derision. "Merchants have to pay attention because conflicts affect trade. The pottery has lost several shipments to the Pellish.
I wonder if the pirates use the pieces they hijack or if they just smash them up," Pater mused. "That shipment 3 years ago, it had my yellow series on it. How I labored to get the glaze just right. So tricky. I had it once, but I've never been able to duplicate it again. The color comes either to orange or to green."
Phelan resumed as if he'd never been interrupted.
"A few of the readers and tutors, however, pay close attention to the balance of power. The death of the queen has more consequences than 1,000 yellow pots tumbling into the sea. Ormondo will grow stronger in its magi boulder without the counterforce of a Weir queen. We may be entering dangerous times."
Harthen had not missed the tree trunk in his last 10 attempts.
"Don't be pompous, Phelan.
Will there be a war?" he asked eagerly.
"Don't be so keen," Pater reproved his youngest son. "War is nothing to get excited about."
Phelan felt wounded by Harthen's casual snub, and for his part, Harthen did not take Pater's scolding well.
"It's boring back here," Harthen said as he stood up with a scowl.
"Let's go to the weighted scale while waiting for dinner. I'll stand you all around."
"Where'd you get any money?" Hake asked Harthen. "Been stealing from my purse again?"
Harthen ignored him and turned to Phelan.
"Come on, Middle, a pint of ale, a game of darts. You haven't been home in a while."
No, I'm kind of tired," said Phelan. "I think I'll just sit still."
"You guys are the laziest, most boring—"
all right, I'll come," grumbled Hake.
"But you're paying. No weaseling out of it this time."
His brothers left, and Phelan tried to enjoy the smell of his father's tobacco mixing with the aromas wafting from the kitchen.
"Do you really think there'll be a war?"
Pater asked, briefly taking off his wig and scratching his scalp beneath.
"I'm worried," admitted Phelan. "I heard two tutors talking. The Magi's strategy and abilities frighten them.
and the tutors kept wondering about the weird Princella. Is she a captive someplace? Even if she appeared to claim the throne, is she old enough or powerful enough to hold back the Magi? Does she possess a mighty battle talent? One tutor said he'd read that if an heir is not dedicated within 10 years of a queen's death, Nargis will withdraw its favor.
You're hot-headed, brother. I can't abide his joining the cavalry.
His father puffed his pipe furiously.
He'll be putting himself in danger. You watch. He's going to break his mother's heart.
Harthen will be Harthen no matter how much you fume. He's addicted to excitement, and he'd never be content as an artisan. His head is full of dreams and glory.
I know, Middle, but sometimes I just have to fume. Not a word of this war talk to your mother and aunt. No need to make them fret this holiday. Their joy in having us all together must not be spoiled by worrying about Harthen.
Of course. Besides, the tutors may be wise in their subjects, but they don't know the future. And you needn't worry about me joining the cavalry, since I lust for books, not battles.
Peter wasn't listening. He still muttered about
that willful boy.
Thalen sought some way of turning his father's attention his way. Thalen gently tugged his sleeve.
You know, I've been studying ores, everything about their properties and colors. Tell me about what you put in your glazes to tint them. When I return to the Scalarium, I can experiment with finding a true yellow.
Ah, now that would be a useful thing to come from your useless education,
exclaimed Hartling.